everybody. Hope you're getting ready for a big, fat weekend. Kate Delaney here, America Tonight, the name of the show. And we're all over the map with this ship, let me tell you. But we have some great news to report right at the top of this. And by now, hopefully all of you have heard this. It's all about capped and passed. Capped would be BP in the leaky well. Day 87 turned out to be the lucky day, because finally something has happened in the positive column in the midst of this horrible, catastrophic environmental crisis and livelihood crisis for so many in the Gulf Coast. You look at a picture now, we've got one posted on AmericaTonight.net, and you see nothing leaking. It is a temporary fix, but the oil has stopped, and that's great news. The runaway geyser that was spewing that crude into the Gulf since April is not doing that. It might be temporary, but for now it's working. The cap just has to hold. Let's hope the seafloor doesn't crack and the relief wells are almost done. Once they're completed, it's probably the beginning of the end of everything. And this is the beginning of the end, as long as it stays up. Nobody's doing a big, fat victory lap at this point, but I think there's reasons to be optimistic. The flow stopped late in the afternoon, 3:25 to be specific, Eastern time. And that 75-ton cap was the thing that worked. It was tight. It was a tight cap, a tight fit. And you just wonder, when I was watching some of the pictures that I saw afterwards, I thought, wonder why, of all the things, and I understand about the pressure, and that was the problem, and not knowing what was going to happen with the deep water and the pressure, wonder why that wasn't thought of right from the very beginning. Nevertheless, it's capped. So the president probably feels like a big weight was lifted off his back, at least temporarily, too. And certainly BP does. But now it's a question of what happens in the wake of this. And this is really still the testing phase. But will we see the end of deep water drilling, at least for futuristic wells, not ones that are already built, but in the future? Will we see, as this drama is done with, that the wetlands are actually really, really scrubbed up to the best that could possibly be cleaned, because it's impossible to completely remove all the oil from everything, we're to understand. And the same thing with the beaches. But the good news is that oil and the tar balls and all that sort of stuff is not floating further down, because the more that there is danger of that, the more that the leak was continuing to flow, the more that the possibility was that there would be more problems to other beaches and other spots in Florida, in Alabama, Mississippi, and places that were already hit. It could be that much worse. So it was so strange, and I just happened to be watching, because I had the computer up, and I happened to see, because we knew they were doing that. So I happened to see when all of a sudden it was cut off. I thought I was kind of looking at the wrong thing. The spill camera suddenly had nothing spilling out of it. There was no churning. There was no crazy cloud of oil and gas flying out. It was all of a sudden it was done. And you have to think that certainly the governors in Alabama and Mississippi and Bobby Jindal in Louisiana, he has to feel some sense of a little bit of relief anyway. Because if anyone, of all the governors, I mean, he was in everybody's face about what was happening and lack of equipment and skimmers and everything else. And he was willing to just go up against the government and do whatever he had to do to protect the people in his state. So now the test has to be complete, and they have to do that seafloor mapping, because you've got robotic arms and whatnot that are down there, robotic machines that are doing all this work, because you don't have people down there doing it. So they're still mapping out any damage that they might detect or any other kind of deep water leaks. But you could already see the effects. The BP shares started to go up higher after the oil stopped. They rose 7.6%, which is, this had really sunk. The stock was really, really sinking. And the Gulf Coast, no doubt, it has been rocked. Their world was rocked big time, economically, psychologically, for all the people that couldn't pay bills, and their boats were were basically dry docked environmentally. And everything that it took day after day living with the spill, what's going on, what about the cleanup? I mean, that's what the water cooler buzz was in every single diner, restaurant, truck stop in the Gulf area. What have you seen? What do you know? Did you get a check? That was the conversation period. So that conversation is temporarily halted. That's a good thing. It's positive all the way around because the spigot had to be cut off in moving this ball forward, and that was the biggest, dumbest thing that happened, that the focus was on everything. It's not that there was no focus on trying to plug it, but that nothing was really happening in that sense, and it was more about who's zooming who, whose fault is it, who screwed up. And yes, that's part of it, and it's a huge part of it. But more of the focus immediately should have been on that leak. So this is good. Also, what happened on the Hill in between the conversation about, wow, it's capped off, is financial reform. We knew this was happening. Boom, it gets the stamp of approval. There's two different points of view on this, just like the two parties. So you can imagine pretty much on party lines, a couple of Republicans jump ship. But here's what Senator Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi's take was on financial reform.
Perhaps most distressing of all, a bill that punishes farmers, florists, doctors, retailers.
No longer will the recklessness on Wall Street of some cause joblessness on Main Street for the many.
All right, so now with that happening and moving forward, it's the implementation. This is what you would call a very stiff financial reform bill. You heard what Mitch McConnell had to say, and what he's talking about is some of the smaller businesses, too, in some of the provisions are the ones who are going to pay the price. And ultimately, how many of those fees, I feel like I'm saying this, but that's the main thrust of it, how many of the bank fees will be passed on to the consumers? Now, we know a chunk of it won't be, because of the TARP funds that would have to go toward a bank too big to fail scenario again. So that's where that money will be funneled, which is our money, which is taxpayer money. But with these new regulations and monitoring the financial system, what does it mean? When the rules are in place, what does it mean? Now, there's going to be a council that could overturn new rules that are proposed by the Consumer Protection Agency. Remember, that was one of the things. It's a 10-member council of so-called regulators that would be led by the Treasury Secretary, and they would monitor threats to the financial system. So this is where it's tricky. They could decide, you following, which companies were so big or interconnected that their failures would upend us, would screw up our financial system. On the surface, sounds good, but how independent is that group? That would be my one concern. And then auto dealers, pawnbrokers, and there are others that would be exempt from some of the enforcement stuff when we're talking about that independent office. But mortgages, credit cards, short-term loans, that office is going to be housed in the Fed. Ooh, change, massive change. Stay with us.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe? Think again. Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous one-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
For better or worse, when have you heard those words before? Besides when you're getting married. Well, that's what we have now with financial reform. And you just heard Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, two different points of view on this. Here's the deal. Big banks make out better on this. And the smaller banks, your hometown bank, won't do as well. Credit cards, look for perhaps the interest rates to go up because of the scenario of having to pay more fees. That's what will happen. And it's really the small guy that will get jammed up, I believe, when this all comes into play, especially the small business person. They're just not going to have the advantages that the big giant corporations will have. That's what you get when you have a lot of government, big government with power, money. Yeah, let's face it, this is what everything's politicized. So now you have the FDIC, when they decide what they're going to do with failed banks, when they carve up the assets, basically, they'll cut deals, as they already have, with other big institutions. And what they do is they offer loans for pretty much pennies on the dollar, and they even give you the big fat guarantee of future losses. So banks that failed, that were too big to fail, they get bigger, and they eat up the portfolios and the assets, if you will, of the smaller banks that the government decides, screw them, they're expendable. And that's pretty much what you're going to get with this regulation. And you're going to see some of the interest rates jacked up. I've seen it with Bank of America. And I'm sure the other big banks, too, probably the same thing. So small businesses are the ones who suffer. They watch as their credit lines pretty much are revoked or slashed or whatever, and they just are not going to have the flexibility to hire or get bigger or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, ultimately the consumer will also suffer too. See, it's always about what looks good on the surface. It does sound good. The damn banks, you know, screw them. They're the ones who threw us under the bus. And absolutely, the greed is good scenario was at work in 2008, in the fall of 2008. But then the problem is underneath it. The problem is what happens. Now, remember, FDIC was supposed to be established to help the little guy, financial protection. That was what's supposed to happen. Mortgage, credit card. Well, at the same time this is going on, they're saying like 1 million more people will have defaulted on their mortgages and been foreclosed on. So that crisis isn't getting better anytime soon. So the problem is financial reform will give more power to the big, big corporations. The little guy, you get squeezed. So if it's Bank of America, any of those, they'll be fine. But if it's the smaller banks, the smaller businesses, it's going to get tougher. It's going to get tougher with this kind of regulation. So look out if you fall into that category. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Hey, Tom.
Good.
Hey, man.
The weekend.
I'm ready for the weekend. How about you?
Well, you know, it's always the weekend. I don't do nothing, just lay in the house all the time anyway.
Good for you.
The screw is on that bank deal. Everybody ought to just carry a jar of Vaseline with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's pretty much what's happening. You're right.
That's exactly right. Now let's go to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
The priest molest anybody in my family, he ain't going to make it to the next confession.
Good for you.
Yeah. And now let's go to the NAACP. Not another American communist program.
Because of the Tea Party thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm talking about. And then the... Oh, it's just all going to hell in a handbag, Kate. You know that. But all we can do is just gripe about it.
You know, right, but you know, there is more you can do. And the more you can do, and you already know this, we talk about this. I really do think the more people that complain directly to Congress people or to senators, and the reason why is because the one thing that they cherish is to keep their jobs. They want their jobs. So they don't want, if there's a massive amount of constituents who are unhappy, they're worried about losing the job, then it does create some change, at least with individual votes, which could ultimately help when all this nonsense, the red tape that we could wrap around America continues and the political machine just continues to roll on. I mean, there are things that you can do. But that's why in the reference to the Tea Party, it's politics as usual, because the NAACP having the blanket resolution that you have to stamp out racism in the Tea Party is just wrong.
Yeah, and they're the biggest racists on the continent anyway.
Mm. Originally, you know what? Originally started, we could probably agree on this for very right reasons. But unfortunately, like we've seen in other things that have happened, it's like affirmative action. All of a sudden, the pendulum swings in the opposite direction, and what was started out of good intentions and did help people becomes corrupted and swings in the opposite way.
That's exactly right.
You know,
it's going to be just like that Cordova thing up there in New York. You know, the guy that was going to blow up Times Square?
Yeah.
He was a good neighbor. He got along with everybody until his time was right.
Yeah, Faisal Shahzad.
Yeah, we're the infidels.
Yeah.
One of their main objectives is to either convert us or get rid of us. And I don't believe that any of them, and I know some, and they're nice people, but I think when the time's right, I wouldn't be turning my back on them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to throw that out there. Tom, have a great weekend. Tom is just saying it flat out. I think that I have neighbors that are Muslims that are nice people, but when the time's right, they'll spring into action. In one sense, he gave the example of Faisal Shahzad. He was that guy. He had two kids. He went through college in the United States. He was working in a financial institution. He was a nice guy. He was part of the, hey, I'm a Muslim and I go to a mosque. And yet the whole time he could not wait to have his chance to blow up some bodies, to get his time in the light, to be a martyr for the cause, or maybe not even be a martyr because he was trying to blow it up and get away from the SUV that he was trying to blow up in Times Square. But, I mean, here the problem is, Tom, that I do believe in my heart of hearts that there are people, I mean, that's like I just said about Catholicism. You know, the priests, it's disgusting. It's sickening. I mean, use any adjective you want, but there are good Catholic priests. And unfortunately, they're stereotyped now because of all the bottom feeders. So would it be fair when you meet a Catholic priest to assume, let the jokes roll, that they're all molesters? And the answer is no. It's like, you know, it's like when you live in Texas. It's like when you live in the South, everybody thinks you're a bunch of rednecks and you're drinking, you know, a bunch of homemade booze and you're ignorant and uneducated and whatever the stereotypes are. And the answer is, of course not. Of course, there are plenty of people that are smarter than the next guy that's in New York City. But we have stereotypes for a reason. And the problem is you don't want to go too far to the other side either on the stereotypes, because then ultimately you become a victim of the stereotype, because all of us would fall into that category. And you, here's what I think has to happen, and which is the one thing that hasn't happened enough, and this is the problem. If I am a American-loving Muslim, I love America, I'm happy I'm here, but I happen to be Muslim, and I love my Muslim faith, and I go to the mosque, then I think a lot of the people that fall into that category, they need to be more active in promoting the opposite. They need to, and we've had some of them on, we've had some people that fall into that category on the show. The idea is to be more active to get rid of the stereotype and say, absolutely, there are Islamic extremists that follow their version of the Quran to the most ridiculous ends of the earth, but I'm here to say, we're not that people, and this is what we do, and we want you to see that. And there are not enough people speaking out, and that makes you wonder. That's what the problem is. And I just had this conversation with an FBI agent who said you'd be surprised at what's happening out there that you don't realize as far as so-called sleeper cells, what's really going on and ties to Al-Qaeda and whatnot. And bottom line is on the Cordoba thing, shouldn't be in Ground Zero. Shouldn't be there anyway. It's throwing salt into the wounds. It shouldn't happen. That should be a memorial, period, end of story. Anything close to it, that shouldn't happen because there's other places to build. It makes no sense. I completely disagree with Mayor Bloomberg on that one, but we disagree a lot. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G C N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a convert for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Slap in the face in the wake of financial reform. Elizabeth Warren, you know, she was leading the whole TARP thing. And I got to give her credit. She was exposing Tim Geithner and the idiots the entire time that she held the position. And so, of course, Geithner, who is the Secretary of the Treasury, doesn't want her to be anywhere near this new consumer agency that is going to be established in this financial reform package, okay? And probably the problem is because no matter what her politics are, Warren just doesn't care. She goes against the grain. She calls it like she sees it. And she got under a lot of the power broker's skins when she kept saying, well, I don't understand what's going on, why there's no oversight, why things aren't being paid back, why there was no map to doing this. And she was questioning everything at every single turn, and I'm sure Geithner just wants to see her go and be gone. And I'm not for the financial reform that passed, because I think ultimately it's the small business guy that gets hurt. And then if he was going to expand and hire people, or even just in hiring people, they're going to have a heck of a time doing that between the financial reform and now the health care. When that gets into full swing in the next couple of years, it's going to be very, very tough. You're going to see a lot of that kitchen table thinking, they call it, where you have like a one-man band and a guy's doing everything, or he's got his relatives, which nepotism's not necessarily bad if you've got people on your crew and you're building houses or whatever, but there's going to be problems in trying to create those businesses and starting them from nothing and making them bigger, which is what our country's really based on. And if you think that 90% of the businesses in the United States are small businesses, see, they're the ones that are going to get capped. Not the corporations, it'll be okay for them, but it's the smaller businesses that'll take it on the chin. And a small business is defined by 500 employees or less. I think contract work is the future. It's all, you might have your own business or whatever, but it's going to be about contract, contract, contract. Dale is listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Dale. Hey, Dale, can you hear us? We've lost Dale. Hey, Dale, you can call back. If you call back, we'll let you back on the show. Promise, for free. Do you love that? If you dropped off, you can come back on for free. All right, so in talking about banking reform, since I was just on that, I'm going to keep going down that same path. The and I mentioned about Elizabeth Warren. And to me, the thing that's missed here is the big bailouts, the Merrill Lynch's, the Bank of America, the AIG, all that kind of stuff. I mean, ultimately, those companies bounce back, right? Because the cutting off the funding is and cutting off the small businesses at the knees, they're the ones that can't do that. They're the ones that can't come back. And that's the problem with the whole banking, banks too big to fail. That's right. Of course, they're too big to fail. So you're protecting them in this financial reform. But the smaller banks, no. And trust me, my friends, start to look at your credit card interest. Maybe you don't have credit cards, but if you do, look at your credit card interest and watch where that's going. And by the way, here's a quick tip. And I'm not giving anyone, I'm not a stockbroker, or I'm not giving any kind of financial advice specifics, but I will give you this one thing. It's probably a well-known fact. If your rate jumps up, don't just ignore it. Call them and hound the crap out of them to lower it or threaten you're going to drop the card or whatever, especially if you've been a long-time customer. Do that because there's a good chance you'll get something out of it. They count on people not noticing or not paying, so not paying attention and not fighting it. Call, because if you do that and fight them, there's a chance that at least you can get that number reduced. All right, so Dale did get the free pass, and he's back on. Hey, Dale.
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
I'm sitting here in Illinois eating my bamboo shoots and Brussels sprouts and watching the world go to hell. I wanted to comment, prior to the break, you talked about Muslim Americans taking some responsibility.
Right.
We have to have that from them. They have to start standing up and speaking out against radicals.
That's right.
They've been extremely quiet, and it's not going to work.
Right.
So I hope there's some people in the Muslim community, and there are some, but mm-hmm. not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to start taking responsibility, keeping an eye on these people that are going to create problems like this.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's the problem. It's just the analogy that we made of Catholicism and priests, and there's other religions and other issues that we could talk about, but specifically with what's happened, because every time there's an attack, it's traced back to the same thing. And you have to have people that say, we're not those people, that we're not, we go to a mosque, and we don't have those people in our group, and we try to pay attention to what's going on with the younger people coming up or whatever. But they have to speak out against it. But you're right. Nobody speaks out. There are some, but not enough. And that has to happen. Absolutely.
Well, we've seen it in, for example, in France, where
yes.
Muslims have isolated themselves
yes.
in their own communities. A lot of them don't learn French.
Right.
And they develop a powder keg, which they had, last year sometime.
Right.
I wanted to get your opinion on something else. This law in Arizona, now I think there are four cases pending against the Arizona law.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this is going to end up, Kate?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were talking about that earlier. Already there's one that's already been discussed with the judge, and the judge isn't hinting as to which way. It's a female judge as to what she's going to do in the case that's coming up on the 22nd with the government. But I think that there will be some kind of an injunction and the law won't kick in. And then it'll go all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it'll be up to the Supreme Court to decide on it. But I think the Supreme Court is going to back Arizona. I think that when it comes to the Constitution and the challenge, that they'll rule in favor of Arizona, but it's going to take a time gap in between by the time it gets there.
Well, is I mean, they can take this case up like they did the election of 2000, can't they?
Sure, they could do it. They could get to it. Well, let's say October is when the court resumes. They could get to it. It could move up the ranks pretty fast, but it's July now, so it's supposed to kick in the end of July. If it doesn't, there's an injunction, then you're talking about, what, August, September, 3 months at least.
Well, I got off the Internet the letter that Governor Brewer had written to President Obama about these issues when they met and discussed some things, and well, President Obama just doesn't want this. He doesn't want the law enforced. He wants power. He wants socialist power. And gosh, we just got to start waking up to this.
Yeah, I think people have to wake up to what's going on, especially in the illegal situation, because it's been too long. It's been festering for decades now, and the lack of inaction on it is ridiculous. Something has to happen. Something has to give, and that's why Arizona ultimately decided what they decided. Because I'm sorry, people are leaving Arizona. It's in some cases in Tucson and parts of Phoenix and parts of Scottsdale. It's too dangerous with the gang activity and kidnappings and all kinds of stuff. 500,000 illegals. You know, I don't care what Felipe Calderon says about, oh, you know, they're racist, they're bigots, they're whatever. There's lots of problems, and that's why that happened, and it can't be ignored. And you know what? And you talk about, and thanks, Dale, you talk about the switch of too much power, too much government power. That's what you have to decide. I'm for smaller government. I go all the way back to what I used to read in history class about Tom Jefferson, and I think smaller government, less government intervention ultimately is better. And we see reasons why, for my part, what I don't like about what's happening, and that's what Dale is inferring there. Do I think that we're going to go down the path where we become a socialist country? God, I hope not. Because I believe in what our country is founded on, and ultimately how we've been able to thrive and survive for so long. And it looked to other countries that have taken up, quotes, the socialism way of life, and you decide if you want to live that way. And there's your answer, and I don't want to see that happen. But the more we see with government stepping in, I think the more that we are headed down a path of not necessarily socialism, but where we have more government control, and then that's where the scales could be tipped. And remember, with immigration, and this goes across lines, I mean, Bush wanted amnesty. He was for the amnesty situation. That's what Obama says he wants. He says, listen, pay a fine, admit that they broke the law, pay back taxes, all that sort of stuff. I mean, his policy is exactly the same that Bush said that he wanted. But nothing's moving in any direction with immigration except for that people are paying the price for it because of how much goes on to county rolls when it comes to, I wouldn't say county rolls, but county hospitals, etc., and school districts, and some of the crippling effects, and especially in the border states. All right, on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load, a little sports shorts.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located
located, and quickly packaged and shipped daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample, or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow for the rest of your life.
Delaney, the show's America Tonight. So we've been pounding the drum about bogus financial reform and a few other things during the course of this one. So let's lighten the load a little bit. Some sports shorts here. Yes, I think it's okay to watch a baseball game or to take in the British Open or do whatever else it is you do in your spare time, right? So sports is it for a lot of us, whether you are a weekend warrior kind of person or you're just watching. Let's talk a little bit about the British Open and Tiger and Jack's record. It's interesting. Earlier in the week, Tiger Woods took a pounding from reporters about his personal life. And, hey, bravo, it's all fair game, buddy. He's made a lot of money on that whole super clean image, and now he's got to pay the piper, so to speak, and just answer the questions. And in reality, most men could care less what happened with Tiger Woods. It's women who freak out a little bit more about the different women and what's happened with the wife and everything else. But like anything else, there's another controversy to be had among celebrities. So whether it's that idiot Lindsay Lohan or Mel Gibson on a crazy, tyrannical, bizarre rant with messages he left for his Russian girlfriend. It's, you know, his controversy is almost in the rearview mirror. Almost. Not completely. Right now, Tiger Woods is tied for seventh in the British Open in the second round. So he's kind of in the money. You look at being a couple strokes off the lead, and anything can happen at St. Andrews, that's for sure. It's a tough course, no doubt about that. Jack Nicklaus is all about keeping his records preserved, and who can blame him? The Golden Bear doesn't want to see Tiger take a big bite out of really any of his records, and here's what he had to say when he was asked about that.
Does anybody want their records to be broken? Of course they don't want their records to be broken. Everybody likes to keep their records. And do I want Tiger to break my records? No, of course I don't want him to break my records. Do I think he will break them? No, that's fine. I mean, if he does, that's okay. He's a great player, and he plays very well. And if he breaks them, he breaks them. But, I did what I thought was good in my time.
Okay, so that mean he gave the, of course, that's the answer. Do you really want to see your records fall? Of course not. If he breaks them, he breaks them. He's absolutely right. Tiger talked about how he's playing at the British Open.
As I said to myself all day, I mean, it's just because they're at 6, 7, 8, 9 under par doesn't mean I have to go get it right now. Mm-hmm. Let the momentum of the round build, let the round mature, and, take your time doing it.
Yep, that's what you have to do. You have to let the round mature, because with all the fescue and the other impediments, I'll call it, on the golf course, they're much different playing conditions. So we move from the British Open to football. I mean, do you believe it? We're getting closer and closer to football season. That means nail the score. A little contest will be back. Maybe this year somebody will actually be able to nail the score. So many people participate in that. Men and women, they just blow out the phone lines. So we look forward to that. Brett Favre, will he be back with the Minnesota Vikings? He talked about some of the things that he's deciding that will play a part in whether he does come back.
No, it's not desire. But physically, I want to know if I can play and make those type of plays. I don't know if I could ever answer that question. I don't know if anyone can ever answer that, but that's, at least in my mind, that's where I feel like I have to be.
All right, that makes sense. He doesn't want to play if he can't play the way that he wants to, meaning all out. It's weird, too, because that playoff game, which New Orleans won and sent them to the Super Bowl, really, boy, that's Minnesota. I thought for sure that was Minnesota's time, and I'm sure that that's is stuck in his craw, and if he can come back and play again for the Vikings, I believe he will. All right, speaking of football, on a different note, the trustees in the Michael Vick bankruptcy case are still looking to get the repayment of at least $2 million that Vick doled out to friends and family in the months before he was sent to prison for running the dogfighting thing. There was a complaint filed in a bankruptcy court and in Newport News, and it says that Vic knew his career was in jeopardy and he'd be facing huge legal bills, which of course he did. So he was giving friends and relatives gifts in cash, trying to hide the money, in other words. And attorneys for Vic and the trustees say the filings aren't unusual. Of course they're not in Chapter 11 cases. But where's the money and where does the money go? Vic claimed about $20 million in debt when he filed for Chapter 11 in July of 2008. That's when he was in the middle of serving that prison sentence in Leavenworth. And then last summer, a bankruptcy judge approved a plan that allowed Vic to keep $300,000 of his salary from the Eagles, with the rest going to creditors. His salary is like $5.2 million. So then that's what happened with the money. Boy, he's paid the price and then some for what happened with the dog fighting, hasn't he? It's interesting, too, because then you think of other things that people have wiggled out of. And I think, you know, Vic should have been punished. But it's incredible how much he was punished compared to some of the things that we allow to happen in this country. And when it comes to justice, and how people wiggle out of the net, but yet he's caught squarely in it for dogfighting, and you have people that murder people and don't get as much. All right, I've been following the Tour de France. Probably a lot of you aren't. I was really following it to see what would happen with Lance Armstrong. Plus, I am a big fan of it. I kind of got sucked into it while he was making his great run and had won 7 of them, if you remember. So now there's a guy named Mark Cavendish, who, it's interesting, at the Tour de France, they have these massive sprints, right? And it can be incredibly dangerous. So what happened was Mark Cavendish was kicked out of a race after headbutting one of his rivals on Thursday. So that cleared the path for his teammate to win the third stage at the tour. That's what's happened there. And the course director said that the aggressive tactic was flagrant and the punishment was necessary. And it wasn't Cavendish, by the way, it's Mark Renshaw. So Renshaw being aggressive and flagrant the way he was, he gets booted for that. And when you think of cycling, you don't think of headbutting, do you? I was just talking about football. Certainly you think of it there with the crunches and the cracks and the things that happen on the line, but not when it comes to cycling. I think you have to be an incredible athlete, though, to cycle when you, when you're riding 114.6 miles. That was one of the stages, by the way. And you just, I mean, you have to be full on physically capable of doing it. So it's interesting. This was one of the big controversies of this year's tour, the headbutting thing. And I'll tell you, Cavendish, who won that stage, that's the guy who won the stage that I was trying to talk about, defended his teammate Renshaw for what he did, saying that, you know, he was just trying to, he was actually trying to elbow the teammate, that he wasn't trying to hurt anyone. And then when your elbow's that close, the bars get tangled and everybody's in danger. And so, you know, it happened, but that it wasn't an intentional thing. Uh-huh. All right, so that's it from the tour, headbutting. One final sports note here. After talking about football and after talking about the British Open, this last one, the final goodbye on Friday, the last tribute to the boss, George Steinbrenner. That's what's on tap anyway. The Yankees are planning that. And they're honoring not just Steinbrenner, but also Bob Shepard, because they died in the same week. Shepard was 99. Steinbrenner was 80 and died of a massive heart attack. But the plan is on Friday night that they're going to do some pregame tributes and do them for both of them, Shepard and Steinbrenner. And it's right before New York plays Tampa Bay at Yankee Stadium. The ceremony is going to include a video tribute to Steinbrenner, moment of silence in honor of both of them. And then wreaths are going to be placed in front of Steinbrenner's statue outside the stadium and at Shepard's plaque in Monument Park. Fitting tributes, I think, indeed.